Welcome
to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse, and as always, being here, but we're happy to be here today, and we're bringing you a wonderful guest today, and that is Kat James. Kat James is the award-winning author and renowned transformation expert, and her book is The Truth About Beauty. Before becoming the natural health world's premier beauty-oriented health expert, and before that, one of the most quoted celebrity makeup experts in the 90s, Kat had a far deeper transformation that involved overcoming an addiction to food and a slew of other serious diseases. After healing herself of one issue after the other while dropping 10 dress sizes, that's impressive, and dramatically transforming her skin in the process, Kat spent nearly a decade gathering the science to validate the unusual approach she pieced together for her own health and vitality. Since then, she's gone on to help thousands dramatically transform their lives and their looks, as she did through her best-selling book, her national health columns, talk radio show, PBS special, and her acclaimed Total Transformation programs. And you can find out more after today's show at www.informedbeauty.com. She'll be lecturing in our area. She often appears at various events, and up and coming is the Naval Expo in two locations, and you can find that at navalexpo.com. Thank you so much for joining us today, Kat.
Great to be here, Dr. Ellen.
Now, I know that what you'd like to focus on today is something you call breaking the rules, while being a health rebel is key to achieving successful transformation. So what do you mean by that?
Well, I really mean going beyond expectation, even your own expectations in your own healing process. I think I've experienced through what I've done with myself and with helping others through my programs over the years that most people don't even realize what nature's intention is for them. I'm sure you've seen the same thing. They don't really realize the power of the body to come back. And unfortunately, we're handed the choices and the opinions and the marketing that talk us out of the real potential that we have, both physically and also just the potential to heal ourselves.
And now this is true. And, you know, Kat, I have been doing natural medicine, very similar protocols like the ones you discussed. But for me, that's been since 1964.
Yeah, good
so
for
it's
you.
It's not something that's new. And I would say I came to it, like many people did, and even yourself, through a health challenge.
Yeah, yeah.
What happened is I was still really a child when I look back on the many years, and I fell off a horse. And I was told the only way out of that predicament because of the back injury was surgery. And I would say I got a spiritual revelation even at that young age about, you know what, that's not true. So how did it happen for you? Because with your health challenges, you must have been told take this drug and take this drug.
Absolutely. So this is before the internet as well. And I was told I needed to go on immunosuppressants for my failing liver. So I went to a Barnes & Noble or a bookstore, maybe Shakespeare Books on the Upper West Side, that's right. And I went and looked up immunosuppressants, found out they cause depression and they almost never work. And I really, at 24, was looking at, I think, dying because my liver was failing, and these things are supposed to not work. I had this raging eating disorder that I had had since I was 12 years old. I had heart palpitations, could barely walk up the subway stairs anymore, horrible skin rashes. I wasn't digesting, so I was just not digesting anymore. Massive leaky gut when I, in retrospect, which I had to fix because I had autoimmune disorders attacking my thyroid, attacking my liver, and thus the liver was failing. And I walked into a health food store, went to the book section, and looked up liver in all of the indexes and just started on faith, because I really didn't believe in this stuff, in this natural healing stuff, just started taking different supplements. Milk thistle, alpha-lipoic acid, very, you know, a good array, fish oil, et cetera. This is 1990. And then I started seeing massive improvements and started fixing things. The liver enzymes were out of the woods, and my specialist was completely baffled, and I didn't really believe it myself, and I kept on going and saw some other people, Michael Schachter up in upstate New York. I just read his name in a little health food store magazine and said, well, my enzymes aren't perfect yet, so I'm going to go see this guy. He said, just do what you're doing, do more. We're seeing that you have candida and latent Epstein-Barr, and you don't have enough zinc. And,
right, and you never even heard that kind of discussion. I imagine you had gone.
It was crazy talk for me. In fact, I was like, wow, these people sort of agree on this weird thing called milk thistle. I didn't believe there was any truth to it, so eventually fixed all those things and felt a change in my biochemistry. In retrospect, one of the things I was wound up taking for my thyroid, L-tyrosine, had a healing effect on my dopamine pathways. And then one of the odd dietary choices that I stumbled on and felt this certain way, and I didn't read about it, I just accidentally ate a certain way and felt a lack of this constant craving I already had, always had. So I tried to replicate this feeling of freedom, and this is where I realized that for me, fat was one of the answers to my way out, ironically, because I had avoided it for so long.
I know. In my book called Weight Loss, The Alternative Medicine Guide, I really talk about how great a high, healthy fat diet is,
yep,
both feeling full and for losing weight.
Yeah, yeah, for your sanity.
It's so true.
Yeah.
But I am interested, Kat, in what you shared so far, saying you actually started at supplements. Because I find sometimes, you know, just taking pills, whether they be pharmaceuticals.
Well, there was a little journey before that, though. So I will, if you would like, I can kind of tell you that the journey that I had made prior to that with regard to food was,
okay,
of course, being
okay,
raised on pure junk, you know, pure
Let's
junk.
That a little, because when I do an analysis and a protocol, we'll usually maybe have one or two supplements, but it's not the start, because that's not what creates the change. It's supportive. That's
well,
why
I have to say that in my case, it wasn't the start, because I had already kind of graduated from the most horrific standard American diet in Michigan,
okay,
and then in New York, as a makeup artist, I was introduced to real food, which to me looked like twigs and bark at first. I mean, I had, from Michigan, never seen anything but an overcooked vegetable, and grew up on Hi-C and Cheese Whiz, and I mean, it was horrible. And so I learned to eat real food when I came to New York. But this is the interesting thing that I'm compelled to share, and once you have established this relationship with food, which is really, from a biochemical standpoint, heroin-like. In other words, if you binge to incapacity, I had leaky gut, I wasn't digesting, I also had candida. And we know how that can affect your food choices. And once the food choices are healthy, and this is quite was a controversial idea, not so much anymore, and that is that you can take healthy foods and also abuse those. So I was making a hard drug out of a plate of brown rice, which a lot of people who have good genes and were not completely raised on plastic food can't relate to the idea that you could go to an advanced health food diet, which is what I was eating once I moved to New York. I mean, I switched to everything from the raw food, you know, bakery if I was going to have a dessert, but I was still binging on four or five of them. So there is a myth that you can't overdo or even use as a drug the sugars from nature, and that is one of the key things that I help people to stop doing as well. So that's where, and you're right, if I hadn't made the, you know, dietary advances, and I did feel better, you know, eating the whole grains and the steel cut oats instead of the white, you know, flour, et cetera. But I was still locked into massive binging, and it wasn't emotional. It was incredible how biochemical I found out that it was, because when I changed and accidentally felt a certain way when I didn't have grains for breakfast, for example, and ate butter on my, you know, or had butter the first time on this grainy bread that I made, and I felt different with the fat, and then I upped the fat even further and cut out grains altogether over a year and a half. And this is before any, you know, low carb, maybe Atkins had come out, and I'd never read it, but it's higher fat even than Atkins. It is not, you know, devoid of animal fat if someone has that, but there are ways to do it as a vegetarian, which I was for 7 years. But I myself eat grass-fed animal products now, and have for 25 years, and feel better, including some of them.
Now, two little buzzwords I'd like to backtrack to, because a lot of people do have these issues. Candida and leaky gut. It's amazing because when we study the organism Candida albicans, it actually releases a chemical messenger into someone's bloodstream who has an overgrowth of Candida that requests the brain of the individual to eat sugary carbs.
Yes. I've been looking into this because it fascinates me how much those messages you're talking about dominate what we do, because we in our minds are saying, I know I shouldn't have that, it's high in sugar, be it juice for some people, you know, even natural things, but certainly all of the junk that we know is high in sugar, and yet we see our hand moving toward it. And also, as I'm sure you do, I observe on my programs, the ones that I conduct, and they're called Total Transformation, I observe people accelerating when they're around certain foods. And this, a lot of times, you know, continuing with fruits and things like that, for some of those people, has to be modified or going to very sour fruits. But until they've had a significant die-off of these things, they're going to be a slave to exactly what you describe, and it is, we're just only learning the whole gut-brain connection, how all those serotonin and dopamine receptors are mostly residing in the gut, and it is really astounding how, and also just how immediately our mood and demeanor, and now they know after exchanging the microbiome of two sets of mice in a recent study, that the personality is changed also depending on the nature of those bacteria.
It's so true. And one of the amazing things to me is with all this research which you are referring to, so everything you're talking about is what we call in medicine evidence-based, that conventional physicians are still able to say with a straight face, I don't believe in Candida and leaky gut. Thing is, you need to talk to them rather than change the language. Instead of saying leaky gut, you can say intestinal permeability, and that they hear a little
bit. There you go. That's right. In other words, they're less amenable to consumer-friendly words.
Right. But it's not a belief system. This is a real physical problem that so many people suffer from, and you did, and you were able to really through study and a little bit of work, actually evolve out of having these problems.
Yeah, and it does change your personality. I mean, it completely, in this group of rodents that they exchanged the gut bacteria with, one of them was timid and anxious, and the other was bold and confident. And they changed the personalities of these rodents by exchanging their gut bacteria. That is just mind-blowing. And yet, when I look at how I was, and I would imagine before you had your, you know, crisis and the change that you made, you might remember how you were. I mean, personality, it is so affected by the things that we eat. And back to the fat issue, so important for people's sanity, fertility, and brain function, and just to witness again and again, you know, since we work with other people, how this changes the personality from anxious and anxiety and needing psych drugs to calmness and deep sleep and just a new outlook is astounding.
Now, it is a balancing act, and you kind of refer to it a little bit, because to me, I really feel that when patients come to me in my clinic and we have a consultation, and if they are vegan, I do have a discussion about that.
Your yes.
spiritual conviction, in which case, just like being Jewish and wanting to eat kosher, we can work around that.
Mm-hmm.
Or are you doing that for health reasons? Because
exactly.
I'm very sorry to say that,
yes, but that's not,
too many people
yeah.
suffer needlessly by maintaining a raw
Absolutely.
Food. And it sounds like you agree.
Absolutely, very wholeheartedly. And, you know, even I was what you would call a bad vegetarian when I was a vegetarian because I still had my eating disorder. And it's and people say, oh, just listen to your body. And if you're lucky enough not to have such, you know, problematic issues with your dopamine receptors and your heredity and be predisposed to substance abuse, for example, then you can listen to your body. But really getting back the sensitivity, even cellular sensitivity to insulin, to the hormone leptin, is a huge part of being able to even trust what the messages and getting, you know, making headway like you referred to with the candida. Because everybody, you know, what, almost 80% of Americans have overgrowth of it. Of course, everyone has it.
Right.
You just have to have the overgrowth taken control of. But these are things that interfere with our ability to even trust what our body is telling us.
Well, let's go back to a vocabulary word you threw out there, because I love educating some people about things they may never have heard of, which is so important. So
yeah.
why don't you tell us more about your discovery of leptin and
mm-hmm.
what that is.
Sure. It's really interesting because it was discovered in 1994. My transformation, and I, of course, to say transformation is silly because it's ongoing, you know, as if it was one time. But the one that was obvious to people when the 10 dress sizes came off and I was not even recognizable when I was standing 2 feet in front of a best friend from high school. It happened from this process of resensitizing my cells on a great level to insulin and this hormone leptin. Leptin, spelled L-E-P-T-I-N, was discovered in 1994, 3 years or 4 years after I resensitized myself to it. And it's mostly known for its connection with appetite, but the research is still pouring out, even in recent years. It modulates immunity. It heals your dopamine pathways. It balances the sympathetic versus parasympathetic nervous system, which is why it is incredibly calming once the cells become sensitive to it. But just like insulin, the cells become insensitive, and really as a result of the same types of foods. So foods that spike blood sugar will interfere with your brain's ability to sense the signaling from leptin to the cells. And so what happens is, after only a few days, and this is the same case with insulin, after only a few days of not spiking your blood sugar, eating adequate fat, not doing too much protein, because excess protein turns to sugar as well, and that's the big caveat if people are going over to paleo, for example. But only a few days of this, which is why my programs are 5 days long, can flip a person from a sugar-preferring state where the body is using sugar as its primary fuel, which it only should be doing in a famine, to a fat-burning state, which was foreign, something I had never felt, something that a lot of people, as a child, they feel it. In other words, they take for granted that they're going to be full, for example. Their body is going to feel full after the right amount of food. That's something a lot of people, even some lucky adults, feel, but it's very foreign to some others who've never felt it in their entire adult life. I had not, because I had my eating disorder from an early age. But it is astounding to not need any physical sensation to know you're full and to have that message be really clear, and that's what being sensitive to the hormone leptin can do for you.
Excellent, excellent explanation. And I do want to tell our listeners that we are listening to this show today with Kat James. She is our guest, and her beautiful website, and you can look at it while we're on air or afterwards, is called informedbeauty.com. And on there, she has so much great information about total transformation programs, makeup list makeovers, feeding beauty, true enhancement, living beauty, and informed beauty resources. So that's one thing I think you are really a specialist at, which is looking at all of this. Since you are, were you an esthetician or a makeup person? What was your
interest? Yeah, I actually, I went to beauty school, but then arrived in New York City with my makeup brushes ready because that was my passion, but wound up working even with Martha Stewart for 5 years as her makeup artist and hair person. Worked with Frederick Fekkai and lots of celebrities, Sarah Jessica, et cetera. And the irony is that when I overcame my eating disorder and shrank, all of a sudden I was one of the most sought after people to be talking about what color eyeshadow goes where. The irony, and no one was interested, in how I had transformed myself beyond recognition, other than saying this must take incredible discipline. They couldn't get past the idea that I was counting calories, which I was not for the first time in my life, because calories don't count, and there's no need for portion control if you get your hormonal sensitivity to leptin back.
We are in total agreement with all of those things, I do want to tell you. And what we're going to do right now, Kat, is just take a few minutes of break right here. Listen to A Natural Medicine Chest. And when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with author and celebrity Kat James, The Truth About Beauty and Breaking the Rules, Why Being a Health Rebel is Key to Achieving Successful Transformation, which she truly has done in her lives and the lives of others. So we'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss the folklore, history, chemistry, and medicinal applications of the common kitchen herb, thyme.
The common culinary spice known botanically as Thymus vulgaris is only one member of a large genera which includes over 400 species and even more varieties. The Thymus genera is originally native to the Mediterranean region and is a perennial plant which grows wild in usually dry, sandy soil, green heaths, and grasslands. Thyme is a prolific, fragrant, creeping ground cover and often displays an attractive spray of flowering branchlets spanning the spectrum from white to violet.
There is considerable debate amongst historians as to the origin of the name thyme. Some believe it to be from the Greek thymen, meaning to fumigate or to burn a sacrifice, because it was used as a sweet-smelling incense and also to keep pests and venomous creatures away from the Greek home. Others believe it came from the Greek thumos, meaning courage or energy, perhaps because it has a reputation of being used by Greek warriors for courage and was bathed in and used as a beverage for invigoration. The Egyptians used an herb called tham, which we believe is Thymus vulgaris, to mummify their dead. The principal chemical constituents of thyme are the volatile oils consisting of phenol, thymol, and carvacrol. A 1977 article in the scientific journal Chemical Abstracts revealed that thymol's antimicrobial activity is 18 times more powerful than phenol. Phenol is a major antiseptic used in commercial germicidal cleaners like Lysol. Thymol is one of the most potent antimicrobial substances known and far surpasses even the strongest antibiotics. It has been illustrated in the Journal of Chemistry and in the Merck Index of Drugs and Chemicals to destroy parasites, worms, fungi, bacteria, mosquito larvae, and many viruses.
The pharmaceutical and cosmetic industry is privy to the important medicinal effects of oil of Thymus vulgaris. It is ubiquitously found in gargles, cough drops, vapor rubs, and many mouthwashes. Oil of thyme is to be used, albeit very sparingly because of its potency, as a gargle or mouthwash for sore throats and inflamed gums. Because the volatile oil is expelled via the lungs and kidneys, naturopathic physicians use it for upper respiratory infections and urinary tract infections. If you're in the midst of a cold and are lying in bed with too much thyme on your hands, try making a thyme tea made with just a few teaspoons of thyme to a cup cup of boiling water. It's an excellent diaphoretic because it causes the body to perspire profusely. Thyme also possesses an excellent carminative and antispasmodic effect, helping in poor digestion, flatulence, and intestinal gripe.
So, listeners, if you're feeling ill, thyme heals all wounds. Remember to reach for that thyme in a bottle the next time you open up the Natural Medicine Chest.
Welcome back once again to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. This is your host, Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse. And you can always find us at naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse. We have lots of exciting classes going on. For instance, we have a trip to Chinatown where you actually can sort of go away to another country for a day, and they go on regularly. This is our 27th year. You can go on naturalnurse.com under schedules to see the next date for the Chinatown trip. We also have outside herbal identification adventures where we gather herbs and make them into medicine, those plants that grow right outside your door, so you learn which ones you can eat and use for medicine and how to do it. In addition, we have lots of books that we've written. Go to naturalnurse.com under books. And today we have as our guest a real celebrity who has been involved in beauty for many, many years, top beauty expert, but then she learned the truth about beauty. And her website is informedbeauty.com. And that is our guest today, Kat James. So thank you so much for joining us, Kat.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ellen.
Now, let's go back to some of the things that you are doing. I know you are part of the Naval Expo. I always present there as well.
Yeah.
And we do want to give kudos to Alex because he really puts together wonderful informational segments.
Absolutely.
So tell us about your experience there.
Well, I have a lot of respect for the attendees of Naval Expo, and I'm sure your listeners know that Naval is N-A-V-E-L, and I think it's, if I can get this right, nutrition, aesthetics, vitality, efficacy, and life. I think I got that.
Better than me. I really don't know what it stands for. Excellent.
And, but like you, I just have to say that Alex is has done something such a terrific service for informed people. You know, he really caters to the informed consumer, and also to physicians who want to be more informed, but also rewards those who are ahead of the game. So this unites people with advanced thinking in this area, and people can always learn something new, whether they are like I used to be and like you were at one time, you know, kind of newer with this side of healing, or whether you're very advanced with it. So I think that's great, and I love to have the opportunity to share about my program and share a lot of success stories of people who've come to past years of Naval Expo. I always have them a year later able to just stand up in the audience and say, listen, I did this kind of controversial, which is less controversial, because I'm sure you've noticed, Ellen, that the research and the Ivy League cardiologists, for example, who are just really now eating their words quite literally about the cholesterol being bad for us, when we know that the brain needs it, we know that it is an anti-inflammatory, one of the body's leading ways to fight inflammation, and also gives us our reproductive health. And
now that is so true. I want to back up on that one because that's important. And what you said is really important. And this is Kat James, and you can find out more at informedbeauty.com. What you said is the latest research is so supportive of the healthy aspects of cholesterol that actually the American Heart Association is backing off.
Yep.
on their programmed response about cholesterol. So tell us more about that.
Yeah, and the old food pyramid really needs to be flipped upside down. We need more fat. When people say healthy fat, it is not necessarily, you know, according to the science, really has nothing to do with sticking only with plant fats. In fact, there are things that cholesterol does that are irreplaceable. I mean, there's been research for a long time about infertility from low-fat diets and depression, et cetera. Certainly that was the case for me and for the people that I work with. But as you said, there's so much research. There's a tidal wave. And not only in support of a lower carb diet, there's the A to Z study, and some of the biggest studies, the JAMA study many years ago, but more recently, a European study, and that specific, one escapes my mind exactly where that research was done, but as you said, you know, the cardiologists admitting things, TED Talks, and all sorts of people who really didn't, they followed the rules, and the rules were don't talk about, you know, talk about low-fat diets, and there was never proof behind it. So, in fact, we're looking at more and more, you know, the whole cholesterol as it would relate to heart disease, that is a myth. So there's no, I can't say correlation, but it's like attributing gray hair to old aging, or I mean, you know, just that gray hair causes old aging. There's no accuracy in that whatsoever, and sugar appears to be more the problem, because if there is a bad cholesterol, maybe the small particle LDL, for example, it tends to correspond with high triglycerides, which tends to correspond with high sugar intake. And if you remove that and remove oxidative vegetable oils even, then you won't have the inflammation that causes cholesterol to be recycled by the liver, because it's not coming from the diet. And fatty liver is, you know, the new smoking gun. And fatty liver is what I dealt with, and if you saw the movie Super Size Me, it wasn't the fat from McDonald's that caused Morgan Spurlock's liver enzymes to go up. It was most likely the sugar. And in the follow-up film, Fathead, with Tom Norton, he does the same thing and eats fast food.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Oh, you must see it. 30 days of fast food, and he actually has an improvement in health because he only, and this is going to sound horrible, and I don't recommend it, but he took off the bun, and he didn't have the soda, and he didn't have any of the sugar or the fries or the carbs, and his health actually improved, and it really angered his doctor. But it's just a, you know, illustration that sugar can be a bigger bogeyman than a lot of things, if not most.
Yes, and you talk about something that, again, might be considered controversial, but a woman who has lost 10, everyone I know who has lost 10 sizes, and I do know some, but all of them have had bariatric surgery.
Right, or taken HCG and then gained it back later or whatnot. But, yeah, this is a very different thing. And what's really crazy is after 12 years of white-knuckling my day through just to not binge, the urge left me.
And, isn't that a
and it fell off, and I never stepped on a scale again. I haven't been on a scale since 1990.
I have to say, when I first started on this path, and as I mentioned earlier, I was really young, and I was a cheerleader, and we used to go to the local pizza joint, but I had made a decision that I don't want to eat, you know, wheat, and not because it was making me ill. I just made that decision.
Wow.
I didn't want to eat wheat, tomatoes.
Amazing.
I have a little sensitivity too. So it was so challenging emotionally to go there, because it was about guys, okay?
Yeah.
When you're in junior high school, and it's about boys.
And fitting in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I really struggled, and I found that when I started praying for a loss of desire instead of increased willpower, I prayed, may I please not want to eat this pizza anymore, just a state of grace. Suddenly, one day I went there, I looked at it, and it looked like a piece of paper. There was no draw. I could be there, I could have fun with my friends, I just ordered something else.
Good
and,
for you.
You know, it was a state of grace when that happened.
Good for you. I'm sure that grace intervened with what I did. I had long since given up praying, frankly, when this urge left me. But Willpower is not the answer.
That's right.
It will never be the answer. And all it is a stopgap measure when you ignore the root causes. And my guess is with you were making headway, you know, and getting healthier and healthier, because if I hadn't had biochemically put in place and L-tyrosine in retrospect was a real, I was taking it for my thyroid. So after I fixed my liver, went back into the health food store, saw all these book titles, The Sugar Blues, Why Am I So Depressed? Why Am I So Tired? And these were books on depression and sugar. I started taking blood sugar stabilizing nutrients, and these did make all the difference for me with my eating disorder. The supplements made the difference at that point. And what's interesting is during this shrinking phase, after the eating disorder let go, was when I felt certain responses to eating more fat, and then just played around with it for a year and a half, keeping going higher and higher with my fat ratio, which, interestingly, and I've observed this over 15 years living along with people and looking at the threshold at which they flip over into being sensitive to leptin, is that the fat ratio that's needed is pretty proportional to how metabolically challenged a person is. And literally, it's a higher fat to protein, you know, which needs to be lowered. There's a pathway that we're going to learn more about called mTOR, small m, capital T-O-R, which determines really genetic expression toward either cell replication, which you need when you're growing up. But once you're an adult, you don't want that because it's a pro-cancer expression. And then also remodeling of the cells. And so if you eat too much protein, this pathway that's little known, and it was Dr. Ron Rosedale who made the dietary connection recently between protein consumption and how it dictates this mTOR pathway, which has been known for decades to have a key role in cancer. Interesting.
Very, very interesting. So are you saying that by focusing on healthy fats, that it turns off the metabolic process?
I am definitely saying that the further along you are, you know, and if you already have diabetes, candida, binging, or a bad relationship with food and weight gain, then you probably need a higher ratio of fat. But there's what I do is help people figure out what this threshold is by feel at my Total Transformation programs.
Now, what kinds of fats are healthy fats? And there certainly are fats that are not great fats, like hydrogenated fats inside, and, you know, cakes and things like that are not healthy fats.
Great question. You know, any oxidized fats, and as you know, certain oils, whether they're vegetable or animal-based, will peroxidize at different temperatures. So using the appropriate oil for the appropriate cooking, as opposed to, you know, not using olive oil for stir-fries, using it as a finishing oil, and using things that can withstand higher temperatures like grape seed when you're cooking, not being afraid of butter. You certainly want organic when it comes to fat because, as we both know, the pesticides go into the fat of the animal. I'm actually incorporating things like goat cheese and, of course, avocados, which I know we both love, but these things are incredible. It's not just olive oil, not just the virgin coconut oil. But again, when you're eating the properly raised animal fats, you could be eating a piece of red meat that's healthier than a piece of fish you got at a chain restaurant if that fish is farm raised, which can be inflammatory and not even have the omega-3s you're looking for. Whereas the grass-fed meat can. And the environmental piece is such that grassland farming can actually make land more arable and actually be a carbon sink, so which is a viable way to reverse some of the human-caused elements of global warming. So that's an interesting thing.
It's very interesting, and thank you for sharing that. And as a tip for our listeners, this is how I incorporate things like that, because my life is busy, as I'm sure yours is incredibly busy, and most of our listeners are out working and being parents or whatever. Mm-hmm. Everyone is just so overwhelmed and busy, and they think it's easier not to eat healthy, but it isn't.
I agree.
This is what I do, just a little tip. I will cook organic meat only on the weekend because I have such a busy life. I will let it cool and slice it into sort of candy bar size shapes. Actually freeze it. I mean, it's better to eat everything fresh, but this is to deal with real life and the fact that I fly somewhere every week. Then I will take that frozen thing with me and an avocado with a plastic knife, a full avocado that's ready to eat in a bag on the plane and or in the car when I'm
just like
going
me.
Around. I'll also take vegetable juice that I made ahead of time frozen and take it with me.
Yeah, I'm really big on that. I'm big on, you know, the make ahead principle and freezing things in little batches. I absolutely, like you, bring those things on the plane. It could be a hard boiled egg, but the avocado and our little quiches or whatnot. Eggs are so important for people, and I was just maybe I'll finish up with the irony of the fact that, you know, you look at what's in an egg yolk and that some people were convinced to eat egg yolk omelets. Let's go back to the fatty liver. One of the great supplements that helps that, obviously diet is where it's at, not doing the sugar in the first place, but choline, you know. And where do you find it? In egg yolks. There's so many lutein, so many incredible things, lecithin, phospholipids in egg yolk, that we don't get anywhere else. And so to think, I'm sure it breaks your heart as it does mine that people are eating egg yolk omelets, still that has to stop.
Oh, you mean egg white?
Egg white omelets, I'm sorry. Yes.
And of course, like you mentioned earlier, it does matter. Like if you can find a local farmer and get your eggs from the chicken, I always raised my own. When my children I had a completely off-the-grid farm, and my children were in charge of feeding the chickens and gathering the eggs, and they just ran around outside, you know.
Yeah, that's my dream I'm working toward.
Oh, well, good. And good luck, because it's a wonderful lifestyle, except that it's really hard to go travel and lecture and do book writings and all those things, because unless you have someone else to do the actual...
Exactly. I will make sure to do that, have someone else to step in there and feed the chickens while I'm gone.
And if you can't do that, then purchasing organic is really important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because commercial eggs are a completely different animal. And once you taste the difference, you're going to...
Oh, yeah, and see the difference. Absolutely. So getting pastured eggs is the way to go if you can. It's kind of hard to find them, but absolutely. And I have probably 3 eggs a day. So I'm a pretty big egg eater. And not overcooking things.
I use that regularly as well. So we're going to take one more break. And when we come back, I'd really love to focus on what you do for people in terms of your transformation workshops.
Sure.
It's fantastic. And the fact that it's on ground and online, so it's accessible to anyone. So we will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z and our guest, Pat James of informedbeauty.com. Excellent. And we are back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. As you know, Progressive Radio Network, maybe you don't know, have a little bit of technical difficulty, so we're hoping that we're back on air now. And we are here with our guest, Kat James, who is a fascinating woman, someone who has really changed her life, and you can find out more at informedbeauty.com. So are you there?
I am here. I survived that short technical difficulty.
Yeah, we'll just continue and proceed. So, Kat, what I'd love to talk about now, people can find out more, you know, beyond today's show, and by the way, this show is archived at Progressive Radio Network, total transformation. What do you mean by that?
Well, people that experience it say, you know, that you couldn't have chosen a better name for that. It's cellular level transformation is what I'm talking about, and a lot of things, including, you know, the name of my book, The Truth About Beauty. Obviously, I refer to, by emphasizing beauty, that I came from this beauty, mainstream beauty mentality, and that I'm really here with that perspective to tell you the truth about it. And we talked about my story and transforming, how it really put to shame even the, considerable power of superficial transformation, which was my specialty. I was involved with the, you know, those before and afters you see in Good Housekeeping, etc. And this is the cellular level, real deal, the real extreme makeover from the inside out. And it's something that at my program starts with a very profound flip in biochemistry that is, the research has caught up with what I was doing for many years. The foremost expert on the hormone leptin that I spoke about in the last segment, for example, Dr. Ron Rosedale, found out that I was having this program where people would come with cravings and eating disorders and with digestive issues that would literally change dramatically before they even came home. And that's how fast leptin works. I didn't know about leptin. I just knew that there was this phenomenon I had done for myself that I was successfully replicating in other people who were being just as dramatically transformed as I was. So in the years, the last 7 years, or maybe since about 2007, I've known about leptin, maybe a little earlier, and known what it was doing and the part that it was playing. And people literally, while they are with me for 5 days, will flip over into a state where their cells are suddenly, once again, preferring fat for fuel, but many other things that happen when this resensitization happens to leptin, including, again, the healing to the dopamine pathways, an instant change in their predisposition to addictive relationships, whether it be food or any other substance, and through the healing of the dopamine pathway, the actual growing of the cerebral cortex that happens when you resensitize to leptin, you actually have your self-control center back.
Wait a minute. That's important. Let's re-talk about that, because people say in terms of the brain that it does intend to grow, and you're saying you actually can increase the size of an area of your brain. That's information.
Yeah. So that's
tell us about that.
And so I can't say that other than just knowing that, and people should do their own research, but having come across that in my research of the hormone leptin was pretty stunning to me. And so the other thing is that it modulates immunity. And so autoimmunity and your immune sufficiency itself is highly affected by the hormone leptin and proper signaling of it, as is hormonal function. In general, sex hormones, you will get more free testosterone flowing immediately. Your muscle-to-fat ratio will change independent of exercise, as many fitness professionals have found out. One who had to fire his trainer who thought he insisted he was on steroids and fired his trainer of many years because he would not let down when this fellow said, no, I'm not on steroids. I've just been doing this diet for a couple of weeks. And this is a Canadian fitness trainer who made his money by, you know, posing for photos, who never had to pump up before his workouts and could work out 2 to 3 times instead of 5 to 6 times simply by eating this way, and watched his diverticulitis and his acne and the spots in his eyes disappear, and his sanity completely return. He himself admitted he had an eating disorder developed by his, his fitness trainer's regimen for him. But it's just epilepsy. This is since late 90s, ketogenic diets have been recognized, but all ketogenic diets are not the same. Some are too high in protein and harmful, but the neurological effects, the anti-ADHD, the anti-anxiety effects are astounding.
So this goes on at these transformation workshops, and it looks like, because I'm actually on your page at informedbeauty.com,
yeah,
and then you have these great links, like to your own radio show, which you have.
Yep.
As well as books that you've written and information and newsletters. I mean, it's a very complete site to visit. And one of them is about your Total Transformation Program. And it looks like you can attend physically or you can attend virtually.
Yeah. So the next physical transformation, this is for visual people and people who are shy in the kitchen. And it also happens to be, you know, for people who are worried about initially complying. There's a little bit of withdrawal in the second and third days, and there's ways to minimize that. But we're going to withdraw when you get off of the body's drug, you know, sugar for most people. So the program is, but you're very clear of that by the time you go home. And what's really amazing is on that third or fourth day, and the science bears this out about leptin, the body then prefers a different fuel by the time you're going home, and that is fat, and that's what we're supposed to prefer unless we're in a famine. And so it's generally a five-day program. I've done up to 2 weeks. I've done them around the world, but the next one is Coronado, California, which is a beautiful island, and Frank H. Baum or L. Baum, who wrote The Wizard of Oz, the Emerald City was Coronado Island that inspired him. And it's beautiful.
Sorry.
So that happens April 14th. But then again, you can do this from home. I call it my teleprogram, just listening to links, or if you take the mastery course, interacting with me one-on-one in a group phone or internet setting. And I'm doing those throughout the year. Next one starts in May, but people can start at any time with the basic jumpstart program.
And you have so much more information. Tell us about your radio shows.
Well, it's the Kat James Show, and that airs on Sirius and XM, 131 Family Talk. And the Kat James Show, that's Kat with a K, thekatjamesshow.com. They can learn about that. That airs on Saturdays. But mainly the programs, I would say, certainly my book, The Truth About Beauty, is a place for these concepts to really sink in and to really understand what we're capable of in terms of transforming, you know, everything. And you know this very well. That is a place to start. It is not as strict as my actual programs, but the transformation stories that come out of it can be read. Sometimes the vitamin shop puts out, you know, their magazine, and they've given away my program a couple of times. Better Nutrition magazine is going to be in their May issue talking about three Mother's Day stories that arose mostly out of my recent Scottsdale program. Just incredible, you know, stories of health turnarounds and things that people have never experienced before. So whatever people are doing, they can layer on these principles of resensitizing to these hormones and not spiking their own blood sugar, for example, can be layered whether someone's doing raw or, you know, gluten-free. You know, in my view, that's a great step, but you want to layer on the concept of not spiking your blood sugar, because as you and I both know, people can abuse that and say, oh, this is a gluten-free food item, so let me stock up on all these gluten-free cookies. And
almost,
you know,
everything that says gluten-free on it is really pretty bad, because
yeah,
they usually have all these potato
flours
and rice flours and these high glycemic index flours, even though they're wheat.
Absolutely. And the woman that I was, her mentality is, oh, this is rationalization, you know, and I see it in so many people. Oh, I can have that because it's gluten-free. And so again, you know, whatever it is, and in the raw world, and you can layer on raw and do mostly raw and still keep your fat high and stay sensitive to these and get sensitive to these hormones.
Right. That is great advice. Now, what about the concept of makeup and externally looking beautiful? At that. So
well,
where are you at about that now?
This is really interesting, okay? I was very high maintenance. My own makeup techniques, you know, looked very natural, but by the time my body was completely falling apart on the inside, the techniques that I used in my bag of tricks that I used on celebrities were very advanced. And the amazing thing is that once you change yourself biochemically and at a cellular level, you become very low maintenance. So my skin became, and everybody's skin when they do this, completely changes personality. And most of the things that we choose to use externally are doing some kind of harm to what I call the skin's natural pro-beauty functions, the function of the lipid barrier, for example. You don't want to use foaming products on the face or most areas of the body. I don't even believe in foaming products for the hair. There's a way to purify sebum and purify your scalp without stripping it, and your skin without stripping it. I talk about that in great depth in The Truth About Beauty, which is arguably considered the most advanced holistic beauty book in the world.
Well, fortunately, we are just getting up to the end of the hour, Kat.
Sure.
We'll have to do another whole show just on your expertise in, you know, healthy makeup once you've gotten your diet under control and you have a beautiful interior, and that does reflect on a beautiful exterior.
Absolutely.
But sometimes people want to enhance that a little bit,
sure.
So there's a way to do it, and you know what that is.
Yes.
So thank you so much for being our guest today.
My pleasure.
And thank you, listeners. You can always find Kat at informedbeauty.com. Look up navalexpo.com, where myself, Ellen Katmai, the natural nurse, and Kat are both presenters. And you can always find me at naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse. Until next time, this is Ellen Katmai, the natural nurse. And as always, I'm wishing you the best. Stay healthy.